Nick, come and tell us how the Lord has had mercy on your soul. Welcome.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Nick. Like I said, I'm from Arkansas. Been in the program since September, and gonna share with you guys what happened, what it was like, what happened, and what God did for me, what it's like now. And so I just want to first off saying that I still struggle every day, but that's why I have faith in God, because if I didn't struggle, there'd be no point. I'm not perfect. I go through ins and outs, mood swings, but that's part of life, and I'm getting used to it. So growing up, good home, good family, nothing out of the ordinary. Sports is big in my family. Specifically baseball. Dad was a coach, coached me, coached my brother, coached my other brother. And that's pretty much what my identity was for a long time until I got a little bit older into high school. And nothing was out of the ordinary with my family life. Loving parents, loving grandparents, always there for me. Just, I moved from Arkansas to here back in 2010. And went through middle school and high school. When I got into high school, I think something changed. In baseball, I was really gifted. And so earlier in the years, I didn't have to really try when it was, I didn't have to practice. I didn't have to go to the bullpen or have batting practice when I didn't need to. And so now I'm in high school and kids are actually doing that. So now I actually have to try. And I said, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I kind of gave up, and I lost that identity in myself. So I picked something else up, of course, that was chemicals and substances and anything I could get my hands on that pretty much changed the way that made me feel, because I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. I don't like to glorify my past life. All I can say is I used to live. I used drugs to live, and I lived to use. It went back and forth, and that's all my life was. Cheating, stealing, lying, hurting my family and everybody else around me. Nobody wanted anything to do with me. And you know what? In that life, that's completely normal for an addict or alcoholic. I've been through multiple programs, crossroads, all that, and came to the point where Tommy Sloan, a chaplain for, I think he's a chaplain at the jail also, he came into Crossroads and he spoke to me about Justin's Place. Chad Couture also came and heard his testimony, and you know what, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do this. So got into the program, and I really wasn't sure what I was doing. I just knew I had a year ahead of me, and it looked like a long ways back then, but now it flew by like that. So one of the biggest things that changed in my life that was really hit me hard is I was a month into the program, and this is back in October, so almost a year ago, and I'm on my way to a graduation. I'm in the car. I'm in LaBelle at this point, so I'm in the car coming back to Naples for the graduation, and I get a phone call from my dad. My younger brother, who was 17, he was killed in Arkansas. He was involved in a shooting with a law enforcement officer, and it hit me pretty hard. Something that was pretty crazy is that I had a feeling that this was going to happen. So I kind of for like the last 4 or 5 years, I had feelings of this was going to happen, something like this, something bad. There was someone who shared their testimony who had the same thing happen to his brother, not exactly, but pretty close. And when I was told this, it didn't really even surprise me, which is really weird. And the program let me go home to Arkansas for 11 days and take care of the funeral and all that. And it was the first time in my life where I actually felt God work in my life. So I'm home for 11 days. That's 11 days of, I have a month sober right now, so I'm back home. I can do anything I want right now, pretty much. I can drink, I can use, do anything. And, of course, that tape played through my head. And their first night I was there, I came across some stuff in my old house, and I made that decision in my mind, like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to hang out, relax. Everything's going to be okay. 11 days from now, no one's going to know. Really strange. I am brushing my teeth or something. I'm about to go just pretty much quit on what I'm doing, getting clean. And it's almost like I couldn't do it. It was really, really strange. A feeling of, and I'm not letting you do this. So I went up in my room. I read my Bible. I read actually out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, A Time for Everything. And because that's what helps me during my, when I think about my brother, that's what I read at my brother's funeral. And I read that, journaled, I went to sleep. And the whole time I was there, I didn't end up doing anything. That's the first time, I mean, the sun was up, I'm changing my mind using chemicals. Sun was down, wind was blowing, whatever. Any excuse I could use, because I didn't want to feel myself. Or for this to happen, that's, nothing explains it other than like a spiritual experience and God helping me in my life. For that psychic change to happen, I'd be like, no, I don't want any part of that. That is not who I was. So 11 days goes by, come back into the program, and it was the first time in my life where I actually had, other than my family, where I actually had friends who, and people around me that weren't immediate family, that actually cared about me, that loved on me, that wanted the best for me, that like wrapped me in their arms and prayed for me. That's the first time I've ever had that happen. So I go through the program, and I got to a rough point where I stopped working my program. I kind of just started flying under the radar. And me being me, who I was, I wasn't talking to anybody about these thoughts I was having about going out and using and doing all this nonsense. And so, great idea. I'm going to go out for a night, get someone to pick me up, leave LaBelle, come back. And they didn't like that much, which I understand. So, but now I can look back on that, and not only did they not kick me out, they didn't restart me from scratch. They let me back in, and I had another spiritual experience where I was at the Immokalee Friendship House. That's where they sent me for this 3 days where they find out what they want to do with me. And I was reading out of Proverbs 6. It's talking about, don't be lazy, don't sleep. Get up, like, drop your pride. And it just, first time in my life where I was reading the word, not only did what it was saying apply to me, but it felt like someone was talking to me. These are things I've never experienced in my life. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to sleep today. I'm going to get up. I'm going to work in the kitchen there. I'm going to help everybody. I already talked to Chad, the director. He said, we can't let you back in. He gives me a call. He's like, we're letting you back in. I'm like, okay, all right. They let me back in, and now I can say I'm grateful for that stumble of mine, because now I understand the red flags that come up. And when I'm feeling that way, when I start to isolate, get by myself, start feeling like no one likes me, all these stupid thoughts that come into my head, and now I reach out and I ask for help. And that's my biggest thing. God, family, friends, the community, fellowship. I think the biggest change in my life now is, I used to be the person where I walked inside my house on Thanksgiving and my grandmother, my aunt were hiding their purses. I was that guy. I was everybody locked cabinets, locked safes, locked doors. There was a time that was a really hard time. And now I am the son where, and it gets kind of overwhelming sometimes, but I am the beacon of light to my family. Always under God, though. I always let them know that. But they look up to me now. They call me every night. I call them. Like, they reach out to me and ask me for help. Because if I wasn't in this program when that situation happened with my brother, it would have been really bad. And me being in this program and having a relationship with God finally in my life has helped me so much with that. Yeah, I have my days where I'm really angry, because I don't understand. And I feel like that's something that holds me back in life, is I want to understand everything, and it's just, it's not possible. It's not going to happen. And I have to remember that it's okay for me not to understand everything, because if I did this, then faith, there would be no faith in my life. If I understood everything and comprehended everything, then there wouldn't be no reason for this. Now, I mean, I did a peer mentorship for a month at Motivational Track. I had to get kind of like on my recovery again, but I wanted to experience that, and it was a really nice experience. Same thing. I'm 21. I have guys that are twice, triple my age asking me for help. Really strange. And it's just, it's amazing. There's a couple verses I want to share before I end. And what was it again? Okay. First one is, and this is what I have to remember all the time so I can keep, because I'm a man, I have pride issues. And so whenever I start feeling this way, like I'm better than, or I'm more skilled at something than someone else, I need to remember this. And it's Galatians 6:14. It says, but far be it for me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I into the world. That helps me just remember that. I mean, without God, without Christ, I'm pretty much nothing. Because I get these short sprees of, you know, I'm going to do this by myself, I got this, and it'll go good for like maybe a day or two. And after a day or two, I'm completely miserable and angry at the world. I wonder why. And then I have to pick my cross back up and continue to walk with it. And it's hard sometimes. It's hard being held accountable. I don't like being held accountable. I want to just be free, roaming. But that's not reality. And there's one more. And it's from, let me find it here for you. Almost there. Okay. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This verse means so much to me. Like I said, I read this at my brother's funeral. And ever since then, every time I read this section, it just gives me chills, because this helps me wrap things up, kind of, and be able to, you know, be like, okay, yeah, things are going to happen in life, things have happened, but you know, it's going to be okay. I'm still here. I'm clean. I have a family that cares about me and a loving community of people now that care about me. And it's called A Time for Everything. It says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to heal. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time for love and a time for hate. And a time for war and a time for peace. And yeah, I just want to say that without God in my life, I'm pretty much, I've come to the conclusion that I'm next to nothing. And I just want to say thank you for having me here tonight. So.
Thanks. I don't think Nick realized what I was preaching on tonight, but the Lord knew. It's exactly